part 3 of 4 of a prayer treatment presented by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. You start by getting an understanding of the overview. That's exactly what John Morgan did for us. He did it for all of the 16 books that are in a book called, typically called Prose Works, but the official name is really Mary Baker Eddy's Other Writings. 16 of them. It's very important to understand that Mary Baker Eddy didn't repeat herself. She would present the same idea in a different way, but you will find that all of her writings had to be a province of God and a direct dictation of God to her, because they're so perfect. They give you the meat in a very concise way and explain to you in a repetitious manner the key point without really making it sound like the same thing. Just like the definition of God. She gives it to us on page 465, and on page 587, she gives it to us in a little bit different way, emphasizing different points about the same truth. Do you think God didn't have a hand in writing the Bible? Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, and the seven terms used to define God that come from the Bible, but Mary Baker Eddy is the one that it was revealed to that they all fit together to define God. Those separate and distinct writings all are in exact alignment with each other. We have a table with columns. It's a matrix with columns. And you will see that the first day of creation is stated in a different way in the first commandment, and a different way in the Beatitudes, a different way in the Lord's Prayer, and a different way in what the word mind for God means. And yet they all tell us the same message. And imagine how many years separate when those were revealed to the world. And how were they revealed to the world? By the world waking up to the level where they would listen to what was in front of them. Jesus said, "There is much more I have to tell you, but you're not ready for it." He was crucified for what he did reveal. The Jews thought they were going to be wiped out of their civilization. In Matthew 22, verse 30, it states, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Mary Baker Eddy devotes the third chapter of Science and Health on the topic of marriage. She explains it very clearly. Everything, every truth is a matter of revelation. It's always been true. But humankind have been living a life of lies. And it's based on the second chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse number 4. Mary Baker Eddy devotes an entire chapter in Science and Health on creation, and in the Key to the Scriptures, chapter 15, on the book of Genesis. If you study those two chapters, you will get an enlarged understanding of exactly what is being said in Matthew and in chapter 3, the chapter on marriage. What is the first thing that Jesus said in the story of the rich young man covered in Matthew 19, 16 to 22, and Luke 18, 18 to 30? And this was supposedly a Pharisee, which meant he was highly educated. And a lot of the things in conversations between the Pharisees and Jesus were an attempt to trick Jesus. So here's how the story goes. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Now this is what I wanted you to recognize as very important. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So first of all, Jesus made it clear that what was to come 300 years later in the form of the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, that was a bunch of baloney, naming Jesus God. He didn't even want to be called good. And how does Mary Baker Eddy define good? It's on page 587 in the Key to the Scriptures, on the same page where I read to you the definition or recited the definition of God, where I said, the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, and so forth. Well, the definition of good is God. spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Actually, I basically gave that to you already. So, good means God. God means good. Habakkuk tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. 'Forget earthquakes and storms and fires and destruction of any kind, any chaos. God has nothing to do with it. The laws of the universe are always harmonious, harmonious, in balance. Do you think some man created all the heavens, stars, and moon and sun and everything and put them in place and said, you better be good and don't crash into the one next door to you? And I want you to rotate around this. And I want this other one. I want you to rotate about this other thing. The greatest ones who have studied astronomy and physics, chemistry, music, and other ones that are called the sciences, recognize that there's something out there that is controlling everything and created everything. They don't know how to define it. Mary Baker Eddy was the messenger from God that defined it. No one else could define it. Many of them tried it. Some of them spent their whole life trying to define it. She defined it. How? By being a scribe unto orders. Listening, observing, instead of using self-will to try to justify what she thought was the fact. I mentioned to you that add, subtract, multiply, and divide are called the operators of mathematics. In the system of divine metaphysics, which Mary Baker Eddy refers to on page 146, she states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form, comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. And on page 330, she caps it off. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, is singular. They're unified. It's not plural. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. How can that be more clear? That is very definitive. From page 330 to page 340, 11 pages, she gives you those 32 topics and tells you exactly what you have to understand. You have to read the rest of the textbook to do the understanding. This is only giving you the outline of what you have to do. and what you have to understand in a few words. In 11 pages, she tells you the sum and substance of all of Christian Science. But you can't do it without studying the rest of the 700 pages in the textbook. So the 11 pages are explained in the other 689 pages. Think about Mortimer Adler, How to Read a Book. You look for things like this, where she's saying that this is it. Here's the meat. So if you're reviewing Science and Health to see whether it's worth it to spend your time studying it, these are the kinds of words and phrases you look for. They are key that put the whole thing together. The introductory quotes at the beginning of the textbook, very important in order to know what Christian Science is all about. It quotes from Jesus. It says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's from John, and it's the words of Jesus. The second quote is from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." That tells us that mind is where we begin. Everything to do with the mental is mind. So the first thing of the four operators is the Word. People refer to the Bible as the Word of God. All the facts about God are called the Word. And all the facts are in the Bible, if we will just read it. And I mean really read it. Not focus on a man hanging on a cross as being your God, when he himself said, there's only one God. There's only one good. And that is God. It's not me. Don't call me God. Don't even call me good. But I will remind you that the very first commandment is, do not commit adultery. Does that have anything to do with what else was said about do not marry or be given in marriage? You see, the Jews figured that if they didn't marry, they wouldn't be having a sexual relationship and therefore would not be having children. And if they don't have children, who's going to carry on humanity? Study in the Bible what he says about adultery. If you're a married woman, don't tell your husband you're not going to have any sexual relationship with him anymore, because you agreed to a contract when you got married. And you'd be breaking an agreement. And the same with a man. You don't tell your wife, well, that's too bad. I know you like having bedtime, but it's over. That kind of an attitude of breaking a contract is the first thing to do to create discord. It says, in the resurrection. In other words, we have to elevate the level of thinking before we agree. That's why John Morgan says, you can't even begin understanding the Word, which are the facts about God, until you have suffered so much in failures looking for health and harmony and happiness in a pack of lies, which is a DNA that is based on Adam and Eve. Until you come to the realization that you're not getting satisfaction and wholeness and completeness from matter and a material world and so-called brain that's telling you what to do and nerves that tell you how to feel and all this kind of stuff and eyesight that fails you and you eventually come to death. Until you realize that you're barking up the wrong tree by following that path and you want to look for something better, then it's going to be very difficult to make progress in spiritualizing yourself, your thought, your actions, your speech. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy quotes that at the beginning of chapter 14, and as mentioned, chapter 14 is a summary of the first 13 chapters of the textbook. So she felt that that was so important for people to understand that she put that at the beginning of the chapter that summarizes the first 14 chapters. And Mortimer Adler will tell you how important it is to read things such as introductory quotes and titles and subtitles. Anything that is put in bold. Anything that's supposed to bring attention to you of something special. Certain key words like, and I probably learned this elsewhere, but certain key words such as always, never, important, or, you know, remember this. You know, keywords and phrases. That's what you need to look for when you're doing intelligent reading. So that's what the word is. It's the facts about God. The Christ is the translation. When Mary Baker Eddy says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? That's translation. Could Jesus focus? Could he translate? You bet your life. Every healing that was accomplished in Jesus' presence, the truth being active and doing it, not a miracle. Jesus knew that there was nothing else. That spirit was the only substance. He made a statement to John when they were on the island of Patmos. Yes, Jesus, after ascension, came back to see John on the island of Patmos. It's all documented in the Bible. If you will just read the words that you're reading instead of glossing over them. Robert C. Putnam, one of the greatest scholars, Bible scholars, next to Mary Baker Eddy, wrote a book, 10 Bible Lessons. It's on our website. He explains it. 169-page book, and it tells you all you need to know about the Bible from strictly a biblical standpoint. But you might have to read a whole chapter or two chapters in order to understand one sentence in his 169-page book. Because it is like an index. It's like a highly summarized index of the whole Bible. And he gives you the references that you need to read in order to understand what he's saying. But you'll be very knowledgeable of the Bible if you seriously study those 10 Bible lessons. So we have to be like Jesus, and we have to do the second step of the operators. We not only have to know what God is about, but we have to know how to utilize it. And that's the translation. We have to translate what we see as a blind man or a dead Tabitha or a dead Lazarus or 10 lepers the same way Jesus did. Einstein says, You cannot solve a problem from the same level of where you discovered the problem. You see, all of the really brilliant people say the same thing. We hear it, well, if we're trying to learn, we hear it from different people saying the same thing. All of the top people in their field say the same thing. And that includes the medical doctors. They all tell us the same thing if we will listen. I mean, one of them said, medical doctor said, and we have it on our website, it's documented. He said, mankind would be better off if they never took another drug in their life. The medical industry wouldn't like it. They'd go out of business. The really top people want to learn from really top people. If you want to progress, you need to surround yourself with that kind of individual and that kind of writings. Doesn't matter if you have to study the same book 10 times. In fact, what we recommend with Science and Health is to read it starting at the very beginning where those introductory quotes are. And yes, notice that Mary Baker Eddy's picture is in the beginning. If you read the last authorized version by her, which was in 1910. But if you read something that is currently produced by the Christian Science Church, you're not going to be looking at the authentic thing. They took her picture out the day that she passed on. They hated her. Just like everyone hated Jesus. If you don't believe it, count on your fingers how many were at the crucifixion. He taught probably at least 50,000 people in two different sessions. There was 4,000 at one and 5,000 at the other, and they didn't count women or children. Probably each family had two or three or four children. So the wife and two or three or four children, instead of 4,000, you're probably talking about 25,000. And the other one that had 5,000, you're talking about another 20%. 25%. So you're talking about, you know, maybe 30,000 or so. Easily, there were 50,000 people hearing him. And he loved children. Why? Because they were receptive. They hadn't lived their life of lies, and they were very interested in learning. He loved having children around him because they were so receptive. So don't think that, you know, the majority of the people that were there were children was a waste. Nope. That's the wrong concept of the truth. It's a lie. One of the greatest joys that a mother and father could have in a human way, is to raise a child in a spiritual way. Wow. Imagine if a baby grew up knowing the scientific statement of being and knowing the definition of God. Knowing that their intelligence can never be limited, because all intelligence comes from God. All you have to do is put yourself aside and listen. And intelligence will tell you what to do with every step you take. We have on our website, on every page, that means it's in the header at the top. It's the same for every page of the website. And what does it say? John asks Jesus, is there any material body? Very simple question. Is there a material body? And another one. Master, is there any material universe? John asks this to Jesus. Did you know that? Probably not. Probably not. Go to our header on any page, mbeinstitute.org, and it's right underneath the title to the organization, which is Mary Baker Eddy Institute. And that's the first thing that is there. A picture of Jesus on the left and a picture of Mary Baker Eddy on the right. And it's the top text in the header, which is on every single page. I'm not going to give you the answer. You're going to have to go to the website and click on the big button that says answers. You're going to be surprised. We may be the only source, the only website that brings out one of the most important things ever stated in the conversation between Jesus and John. We only happen to know about it because somebody went to where the record of this is. So, translating, focusing no matter what you see, focusing on the truth, which is the first quote in Signs and Health. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay, what's the third thing? So number one, we have to know the facts about, we have to have the right attitude where we're receptive because we have realized that a material sense of life doesn't give us the fulfillment that we're looking for. That's number one, have the right attitude to begin. And then the four things to learn about on how the seven synonymous terms for God of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, how do we make those work for us in everyday life? Because if we can't make Christian Science practical, it's going to be like every other religion. You go to a church and you sit there for an hour and you leave and then you go about doing the same thing you would be doing if you never went to church. That's the way almost everyone that goes to church conducts their life. Okay, so you have to have the facts about God, which is the Word. And it's in the Bible. But Mary Baker Eddy is a faster way to find out. And you have to translate no matter what is visible. You have to trace back to the invisible. You have to turn all the lemons into lemonade. The two gardeners, they lived next to each other. Both of them had big gardens for these large estates. And the one had his plants stolen by the one next door, consistently. And somebody went out to see his garden one day, the good guy. And he said, well, what's this hole here? He said, well, I see that my best friend must have come over here and taken a plant that he felt that he needed last night when I was not in the garden. He said, well, why do you call him your best friend? He reminds me of what I don't want to be like. So I have to flip it. I have to turn the lemon into a lemonade. He's my best friend. He reminds me of the things that I should be thinking about by just reversing what he does. That's what the translation is all about. That's what the Christ is all about. Jesus was the greatest example of the Christ, because that's what he did in all of his healings. He reversed what the material senses were screaming. And he focused on the truth about God, about man, and the irrevocable relationship between God and man. That's what he did. And there wasn't anyone until Mary Baker Eddy came along that even came close to what he did. And she started with what other churches don't even ever get to. And that is healing. Christian Science Church is the only, and I don't want to say Christian Science Church because I'll tell you what church is all about in a minute, but Christian Science or divine metaphysics, divine metaphysics, not a quasi-metaphysics, not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or, you know, a spiritualist or anything else that is a fake. No. Divine metaphysics means the perfect. You know, divine means perfect. It means the God metaphysics, the metaphysics of God. Every word in Mary Baker Eddy's writings was a province from God. She describes herself as a scribe unto orders. Okay, so that's step number two. And remember, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Don't just all of a sudden think that you're going to be able to have a baby and propagate civilization mentally. It says, in the resurrection, that's when you can give up the marrying and having babies. It's a progression. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. You can't stay stationary and you can't go backwards. Infinite progression. One of the greatest pianists that performs publicly for entertainment, not for culture, but for entertainment, said that if I don't practice one day, I know it. If I don't practice 2 days, the critics know it. If I don't practice 3 days, you're going to know it. Vladimir Ashkenazi. He's considered probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, pianist of all time. Russian. You can tell by his name. He was asked, how can you play so perfectly? His response, practice, practice, practice. That's supposed to be the the Russian accent. He said, I practice until the music plays me. That's attitude. You can't begin to spiritualize yourself and have a better sense of spiritual well-being, which affects every phase of your life, until you go through the very first step. You have to realize that there's only one way. Mary Baker Eddy describes Jesus as the way shower. She says Jesus was the most perfect man that ever walked on the globe. She doesn't say he's God, because that's a lie. But he's the most perfect man. He's the way shower. Follow him. Follow in his footsteps. So a study of Jesus' life is a very important part of being ready to really make progress. And don't forget about Richard Strain. Practitioner told him, if you're not spending 5 hours a day, you're not going to do it. This is the end of part 3 of 4 parts. to a prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute on the topic of introduction.